You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me for the Matt's Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. A little tired. New Year's overlap. Takes like a day to recover, but other than that, I'm good. Ready to talk some Dodgers here. Deep system.
Yeah, the Dodgers are an extremely deep system, and some guys that are really interesting. That some are close, some are far away, some are here. As a Giants fan, it's always difficult for me to want to talk like nicely about the Dodgers. But I guess that's why I'll let you do most of the talking.
Well, if I could talk nice about the Cubs, you can suck it up for a little bit here.
Yeah, I guess you did kind of – you sucked it up the other day and talked glowingly about the Cubs. So let's jump right in on the Dodgers and let's start with guys that are either close to the majors or have already gotten cups of coffee and might be up for impact this year. What are your thoughts on Dodgers prospects that could help people now?
Well, I guess I'll start. I mean, he's not my top Dodger prospect now, but I'll start with Jose De Leon, I suppose. He's kind of been a hot topic of trade rumors. He seems to be destined to go to Minnesota for Dozier. I think that's a good return, but I think if I'm the Twins, I need to hold out on more. I think De Leon, while the strikeout rates are always high, I'm not sold on him being a front of the rotation guy. I think he might be a mid rotation guy because he has no breaking ball. I do love the fastball and changeup combination. I mean, you can't argue with it. He generates a ton of swing and miss with his delivery. And if you watch it, I'm kind of mystified at how it gets done. It's a little bit deception. The arm angle is just pretty much over the top, but the strikeout rates and the swinging strike percentages are really, really good. So you can't argue with those. I mean, that's the foundation for the success. That Cato Plus system on Fangraphs really likes him. I think he's got a really high floor for a prospect, assuming he's healthy. The plus changeup, the drop and drive delivery keeps the fastball up in the plane. He kind of works up in the zone. Struggled in his little cup of coffee last year, but he didn't really get a shot. I was kind of clamoring for him to be up a lot earlier than he was. But it just didn't work out that way for whatever reason. And I mean, the Dodgers, I can't really argue with their developmental plan. It's pretty good when it comes to young pitchers. But De Leon is an interesting kid for sure. Unfortunately, I think he's moved. But
do you think he's a guy that is someone you want to go out and buy right now because of the poor major league stint, or is he a guy you want to sell on?
That's a really hard question for me because my stance on De Leon, I'm kind of like in the middle on him. Everyone's high. Some people are low. I guess I'm buying him. But keep that in mind with the move to Minnesota, I think you get more opportunity there, but I think your potential wins are still a fantasy thing, and that'll get hurt going there. Pitching in ballparks are still nice. He gets to avoid Coors a little more out in Minnesota, obviously. So I suppose I'd buy in. He's right on the cusp there. Most organizations, he would be getting a shot right now. But for the Dodgers, I think right now he's still probably their seventh, eighth option entering the season. I mean, I don't know if you disagree with that or not.
Yeah, but. No, I mean, I want to pencil him in somewhere, but I think he's probably one of the first men up. But I agree with you. I think he gets moved. Like, I think he's part of a deal for Dozier or, you know, some other second baseman.
Yeah.
Or even an outfield piece. I mean, I don't know where they really want to upgrade at this point. So I would be shocked if De Leon is on the roster on opening day. And I'd be really shocked if he's on the Dodger roster by midseason. So, I mean, if for some reason they don't make a move, for a big piece now, they're going to do it at some point, and I think he will probably be the center of any conversation.
I think he's one of those cases. He's a type of pitcher. He's better in fantasy than he is in real life because he'll pile up the strikeouts. He might be homer prone because he lives up in the zone, and the fastball is, I mean, it's low to mid-90s, which is great, but that's not anything exceptional nowadays, which is hard to say, hard to think about, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think it all kind of comes down to if the slider that he has is better than what we saw at the major league level.
And it needs to be.
Yeah, so. The reports were that it was better in AAA than what we saw in the majors. But what we saw in the major leagues, at least what I saw in the major leagues, was a guy who couldn't hit his spots with his slider.
I'd like to see him in a perfect world stay with LA and get a shot there because I think working with Grandal, one of the best framers in the game, could help. Like, I think that's going to be good. But also, I guess, getting traded to Minnesota, I mean, they obviously love the framing ability of their catcher, so.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not like Minnesota's a bad park. I'd like to see him stay in the National League.
Agreed.
I mean, personally, I wouldn't like to see him go against the Giants because I think he's got a pretty bright future. I think I'm a little higher on him than you. You know, I mean, I think for his fantasy value, I think you'd rather see him stay in the NL West and you just avoid starts in Coors and maybe Chase Field.
Yeah, look, I agree with everything you said there.
What about other guys that are either close or right here right now? Anybody worth talking about?
Yeah, quite a few in this system, actually. He got major league time last year. I'm really high on this kid. We did our rankings. I don't know if you got to look at it. I'm not going to give you the number because I want people to go to our site and look at the rankings, but I was pretty aggressive on Andrew Tolles. I ranked him fairly high. The Dodgers have a crowded outfield situation right now. You're looking at guys like Puig and Jock Peterson, Trace Thompson, Andre Ethier. They're all going to get at-bats, and Tolles is also in the mix there. And Roster Resource has Andrew Tolles penciled in to bat leadoff for the Dodgers right now and play left field. I ranked him. I mean, I'll give it. He's comfortably in my top 50 for outfielders.
Wow. Okay. I think I have him around 108. I want to say.
I have him in the 40-ish range. I think he's 40 or 41.
That's pretty high praise because I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, and I'm trying to find him on our outfield ranks right now.
I had to add him onto our list. He wasn't on our ranking
sheet. Yeah, I don't think most people even ranked him.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's last year versus righties, he hit 351, 394, 553 in the majors and throughout the minors. But he has major platoon issues against lefties. He struggled a little bit. The big thing with him, he's always had the skills. He was drafted with Tampa, which obviously the Andrew Friedman connection there. Friedman kind of brought him over to L.A. He was released by the Rays because off-the-field issues. He got kicked out of University of Tennessee because of the off-the-field issues. His junior college team kicked him out for off-the-field issues. So he's definitely some problems there.
I think there's some mental health issues as well, if I remember correctly.
I don't want to speculate on that because I'm not sure, but I believe so. I believe that's what I heard, yes. Which, whether or not that's, you know, that can go different. There's multiple different variations of that, obviously. But, I mean, Tampa Bay straight cut him. Last year in the majors, he slashed 314, 365, 505. he could play. I mean, he dropped a costly fly ball in the NLDS against the Cubs, which or NLCS against the Cubs, which kind of flipped one of the games on its ear there at the end. But you're looking at a guy. I think the hit tool is average. I think the power is average. He's a littler dude. He's a little under 6 foot. But he's got some. Obviously, we touched on the severe split issues. Plus arm and a plus runner. I'm not sure how it's going to translate on the bases. But, yeah, he's going to have the platoon issues, which are going to limit his overall ceiling. But I think if he plays and when he plays, he's going to hit. So I think he works his way, separates himself into the left field mix. And at the very, very worst, he's in a platoon with Trace Thompson in left field. And he's going to have the strong side because he gets more at-bats. So I think there's a lot of value there.
All right. What about someone else? Anyone else? I mean, are you an Austin Barnes guy?
I am, actually. I do like Austin Barnes. I think if something happens to Grandal, he's an instant add in all formats. I've been a really big proponent of Barnes. I think I like him this year, even now, only because it looks like he's going to play other positions. He's going to play second and third a little bit, so he'll have some additional flexibility there. Probably league average bat, nothing great, but he's a catcher, so you'll take that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think... Yeah, if he can play, because I mean it looks like they got to maybe playing him second base a little bit. Yep. So I mean, you know, he's versatile. You can get some statistics of him, and you know, especially in like deep two catcher formats, NL only two catcher leagues. Yeah, why not spend a couple bucks on him, get him, and just get the stats. Like you said, he may just offer kind of league average production, but in two catcher NL only, if you're punting catcher, there's worse guys you could go with.
Definitely. I mean, man, it looks like he's the unquestioned backup catcher, so he's going to be on the major league roster this year. So,
yeah. What about guys that probably won't start the year in the majors, but might be a little bit closer? Like, you know, will we see Yusnel Diaz this year?
No, I think he's too far away. Let me find my notes on Diaz. He's obviously the big Cuban guy, 6'1", 195. No real standout tool, but everything average is good. So he's going to have that, and it's not the big, like, not going to be the flashiest, like, fantasy guy because, like you said, there's no real plus skill here. Everything average is perfectly acceptable, though. I mean, he's going to play center field. Might be decent out there, but, I mean, the Dodgers have Peterson out there, and he's young, and he's going to be there for a while. So I don't know if Diaz would really ever play center. Diaz is probably a guy that gets traded, in all honesty.
Okay. What about Verdugo or Bellinger? I mean, these are kind of bigger name prospects that might have a chance to see the majors towards the end of the year.
Bellinger, for sure, I think. I love Bellinger. He's interesting profile. How many guys can play first base and all three outfield spots?
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, being left-handed, obviously he's limited to those spots, but... Excuse me. That's you're looking at a guy. I think he can hit 25 homers. If you want to acquire him, the price is going to be steep now. But if you wait a month or two into the season, and he's going to light up the PCL, obviously, with his offensive skills, the ballparks you're playing in. If you want to acquire him, you need to do it now. Adrian Gonzalez is in the way for how much longer?
2018.
Yeah, so and I think that fits perfectly with Bellinger's development. I think he comes up next year as September call-up probably, just because the Dodgers are so deep, have so many bats. It sounds like their Minnesota kind of wants him in the trade, but it doesn't seem like he's on the table, which he wouldn't be for me. I look at him like a poor man Anthony Rizzo. I like Bellinger. The bat-to-ball skills are there. Significant strides in the strikeout rate. Cut it from just under 28% to just over 20% last year. That's a nice gain. 8% is a good chop off the top. But, yeah, I think he's a relatively safe player. I mean, the Dodgers have the ability to use him in the corner outfield. Probably stretched in center field, in honesty, but he's going to be a plus defensive first baseman in the Freddie Freeman-ish Anthony Rizzo type offensive production. So I really, really like this kid a lot. And like you said, if you want him, you have to get him now, because when he puts up those cartoon numbers in the PCL, the value is going to go way up.
What about Verdugo? I mean, Verdugo is a guy I've really liked for a long time.
Yeah. You're really high on Verdugo.
Mm-hmm. He's my boy.
Yeah, he should be. You're higher on him than I am. You take a look, you know, you do the amateur, stat line scouting, which we're all guilty of. You can't just use just only stats, you know what I mean? But they're nice tools to use along with, you know, scouting reports and tool grades. You look at his numbers in Double A. They don't jump off the page. 273, 336 OBP, 407 slug with 13 homers. Only 2 of 8 on the base paths. But then you look up, the most important number here, he's 20 years old, playing in Double A. That's normally Double A is 23, 24 year olds. So he held his own despite being 3.5 years younger than the league competition. That's a lot, obviously, and that's good. He makes a lot of contact. He's going to be probably have a plus hit tool when it develops. The power is questionable for me. I think he's going to be a lot of doubles more than anything else. But there's nothing wrong with that profile. You can look at him. The approach is there. He's an excellent outfielder. I don't know if he's going to play center.
I don't think he plays center. I think he ends up in left.
That the arm is good enough for right. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm all on that. But the thing with him is he hits the ball on the ground a lot. He doesn't get a lot of lift in the swing. But the Dodgers can change that potentially and maybe not damage the hit tool. I could see him being before his recent power explosion, I could see him being like a Matt Carpenter of 3-4 years ago. Mm. You know what I mean? Like where he 280, 290, you know, 340, 350 OBP, 10 to 12 homers.
I think there's more power in that bat. I know he's hitting doubles right now. He's got doubles power right now. But I think, you know, he's got size already.
Yep.
And I think it's just a matter of translating that into game power.
My just thing is he hits the ball on the ground so much that I think whether the power is there or not, it's going to be limited because of the swing plane. Mm. You know, it kind of puts a ceiling on him. I do think he's a 20-homer bat down the line. I just don't know how far along that is. He's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
So it could realistically be another – I mean, he won't really enter his prime for what, 6-7 more years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he's going to be told.
He may be a kind of, a development guy that's more interesting in Dynasty than Keeper. So in leagues where you can definitely keep forever and you can kind of actually let him mature, let his body continue to fill out, I do see him at his peak being a 20 to 25 home run guy with enough speed, but the high average and or good average and high OBP making him extremely useful.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess the next guy I want to talk about who's in kind of the same boat as Bellinger and Verdugo, he'll probably be in AAA with Bellinger next year, is Willie Calhoun. You ever watched him play, Justin?
I have not.
He was in the Fall Stars game for the Arizona Fall League, and he's listed at 5'8", 187, which is interesting as a frame itself. But there's two things. There's no chance he's 5'8". He's probably 5'6", and he's probably every bit of 200 pounds. So he's like Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
A little bowling ball kind of guy. But this dude, rakes. That's what he does. A little bit down on him only because I don't see where he plays defensively. He's already kind of stretched out at second base. He doesn't have the foot speed to play the outfield. He could probably play third, but he's not the ideal frame for a third baseman. You know what I mean? He can't play short.
Do you think that means he eventually – well, I guess you don't want him playing first at 5'6".
I bet you he goes with De Leon to Minnesota is my guess.
Yeah,
you can kind of DH there.
That would be interesting.
Or play second base. I mean, he could play second base. I mean, it's passable there. He could step in and be the second baseman in the second half, and for a couple of years until he gets pushed off the position. But
I mean, just box score scouting, it's really interesting how many home runs he hit, considering the strike rate at Double A.
Yeah. It's interesting profile. The home run, the powers took a big spike this year. The power itself didn't, but the home runs, the doubles translated into homers. The bat control here is elite. The timing, the bat swing, But like I said, the arm is a little light for third. He's already a 30 runner on the scale. And you don't go up on the scale as you get older. That's the one tool that's guaranteed to go down.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a DH to me.
Yeah, he doesn't strike out a lot. I really love it, like watching him hit. Watching him hit on YouTube is one of the best things, just because he goes all out. This little dude. If you want to talk about swings, you need to look at Cody Bellinger's also. His is just straight, all out, full blown uppercut. Like I'm playing wiffle ball in the backyard. Like that's Bellinger. But Calhoun is a little. He gets it done despite having all the limitations that professional baseball players sure aren't supposed to have. It's kind of interesting to watch. It's fun. It's a fun profile.
Do you think, he's going to run into much higher strikeout rates in the majors? Because, considering he only walks 8% of the time, the 11.5%, he's not going to be swinging and making contact that much, I guess, to...
Contact rate always stays. If a guy makes really high contact percentage, he's going to do probably really high contact percentage in the majors too, but it's going to go down. It's not going to stay where it's at. Contact is one of the things that translates the best from my limited research on that topic. But like I said, it's different. You get pitched differently. In the major leagues, they'll find your holes quicker than they will in the minors. Mm-hmm.
It's like you said, it's an interesting profile, and I'd be interested to see. I want to see a full year at AAA with him.
Yes. He's carrying more name value right now than actual value
for me.
And I think he's a good guy to flip because I know a lot of people know who Willie Calhoun is. So I don't know. But the Dodgers, that's just the offensive side. You're looking at a guy like Brock Stewart who could be in the majors. He was in the majors last year, kind of just popped up out of nowhere. He went to my alma mater, Illinois State. He was a third baseman. So obviously he took the arm, put it on the mound. 92-95 was sink and run with a good changeup. He can get lefties and righties out. The slider is a hard slider. The movements, use it against lefties. He kind of uses it at a cutter, but it's a slider. It's called a slider. I kind of think it's a cutter, but I think he's a mid-rotation guy long term. This year, he just needs an opportunity, but I think he might be ahead of Daily Own as far as opportunities go.
Yeah, because he's probably first man up.
Yeah,
but when there's an injury, because it's not a matter of if. With the Dodgers.
Yeah, sure. They had so many injuries last year, and it was nuts. But then again, you also have guys like Scott Kazmir and Brett Anderson, so you shouldn't be surprised, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the next pitcher I want to talk about is he's not going to be up this year, and he's quickly rising up everybody's board. It's Yadier Alvarez, the 6'3", 175-pound Cuban. He throws easy cheese, man. He's up over 100 miles an hour, and the delivery has no effort. It's crazy. The slider is the best off-speed pitch, and it's almost 20 miles an hour slower than the fastball. It's crazy. Everything here is to like. Obviously, you have all the risks with him being raw, but he seems to have taken to the States pretty good. He's going to grow, whether it's good weight or bad weight will be seen, has yet to be seen. I like this kid a lot. He's popping up on a lot of people's prospect lists. He's rising high. The risk of flameout is really, really high, but I like Alvarez for the future.
All right. Anybody else that's long-term or a sleeper guy that you might be interested in as a stash in Dynasty Leagues?
Yeah, Walker Buehler fits that perfectly. First-round pick out of Vanderbilt in 2015. He was hurt his senior season, but looks like he pitched through it anyways, or his last season at Vanderbilt. Had Tommy John surgery, missed last year, came back through like five innings. But when he was at Vanderbilt, the fastball was 91-94 with iffy command. He fell down. The Dodgers grabbed him. He was supposed to be top 10 guy. Dodgers picked him in the mid-20s. Had Tommy John surgery in the summer, came back last year, and was hitting 95-97 with the fastball, sitting.
Mm.
So that's a huge jump. And now part of me is skeptical because is that just because he only threw five innings, so he aired it out? Or is that some gains and he's going to fall back a little bit with more innings? You know what I mean? With more wear and tear. I kind of want to split the difference there. and say that the 91 to 95 that turned into, you know, 95, 97 is probably going to be 94, 96, you know what I mean, in that range. But the strides are real still. He's from Vanderbilt, so you know he's got the plus curveball. That's the staple there. The changeup is good. He uses against lefties. The delivery is normal. It's a bit undersized, which is typical for a Vanderbilt guy also. He should see if he can hold up to the workload, but I think you have a potential number two or three here. It's nothing to sneeze at there.
And I think he's also a guy that could move quickly depending on, you know, health, considering he's already 22 years old. This will be his age 23 season. So if he's healthy, he should move up through their system pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. And the Dodgers obviously like what they saw because they went back to the Vanderbilt well in 2016 with their first-round pick and took Jordan Sheffield. He's the brother to Justice Sheffield, who just got traded to the Yankee system.
Mm-hmm. Does he have the funky delivery that kinda, Justice has?
Kind of does, yeah. He's had Tommy John surgery in high school as a senior, so he took a year off, didn't pitch again until Vanderbilt 2015. So he missed a year at Vandy, pitched his sophomore year, well, redshirt freshman year, but still draft eligible, so after three. So control issues, obviously, with him. He's young. But the strikeouts are hard to argue with. I think he's a notch below Buehler, at least one, maybe two. He's probably a mid-rotation arm, but he's got a little bit of upside. I'm a sucker for Vanderbilt kids. He's got the plus fastball, the above-average slider, and a plus changeup potentially. So got to like that. The command is a little shaky at times, but he's only 22 years old, so we'll see where that goes.
All right. Any last guys you want to talk about, or should we just wrap this up?
There's some guy, Mitch White's interesting. DJ Peters is a nice, interesting outfield bat. Yasiel Sierra got a lot of money from Cuba to be a two-pitch reliever, and I don't know if that's going to profile enough. Dustin May is interesting for third-round pick this year out of Texas high school. 6'6", 180, he'll grow into the frame, add some velocity. You could be looking at an upper 90s arm. Omar Estevez is a Cuban import that just hits. Gavin Lux, first-round pick this year. Defensive first shortstop. Should have league average bat, some of the wheels. He's good little profile. Will Smith, second-round pick this year. Catcher, defense first, but he can run. Catcher with plus wheels, which is weird, out of Louisville. But the system is deep. There's other guys like, you know, Ronnie Brito, who won't touch him. Micah Johnson's still around. They kind of make him play a little outfield this year. He can be a kind of utility guy, but they already have Enrique Hernandez or Kiki Hernandez, so I don't know where he fits in. Trevor Oakes, slider, sinker, changeup guy. Mitch Hansen, potential five-tool sleeper prospect for me this year. He's a guy to watch and follow. He was in the low minors, struggled at times, but starting to pick it up. He could be a five-tool contributor. Edwin Rios is a big raw power bat. First base only, it looks like. He's playing a little third, but that's not going to last. He could easily be a major league bench bat, or he could be one of those guys that reaches AAA and just sits there for 15 years and breaks all the records there and makes money. he's one of them kind of guys, hit or miss. But yeah, this system's nice. I like it. And I think we pretty much covered everybody, but it's deep. So,
all right. Well, that's going to wrap us up then. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Feel free to email the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, if you have questions or comments. Or give us a five-star review on iTunes. It really, really helps us out. And if you screenshot it or send me a copy via email or via Twitter, I'll make sure you get into one of the listener leagues or are eligible to win some prizes, which we'll be giving out at some point this off season. So for Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.